All right, we back. It's another hour of the Chicken Liquor Hour. We got my brother, Dr. Clark, in the building. What's cracking, Dr. Clark?
What's up, everybody?
What's up, everybody? So, where does Halloween sit on holidays you enjoy?
It's my favorite.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Growing up, especially growing up being a preacher's kid, we didn't celebrate Halloween. We celebrated Hallelujah Night.
Uh-huh.
And there would be an event at church that we would go to, and most of us didn't even dress up, and Halloween was of the devil, so we celebrated Hallelujah Night. And as I've gotten older, I realized how different your life is when you're somebody that grows up in the church and growing up 4 days a week being at church. So when growing up, how did Halloween become your favorite holiday?
So growing up, Christmas was always my favorite holiday. But then as I got older, like, Christmas becomes less magical when you're an adult because it's like mostly kids. But Halloween, I think, is catered to like everyone. Like, there's Halloween stuff for kids and for adults. And I started to really get into horror movies when I was like in college or after college. So being a horror movie fan and loving like the decorations of Halloween and the festivities, that turned it into my favorite holiday.
Speaking of that, talking about Halloween being your favorite holiday and stuff, that makes me think of and you said how it's marketed to like everybody. That leads me to my first segment, what I saw on the internet this week. And I saw this chick said adults ruin Halloween. Halloween is supposed to be for the kids, not for the adults. And I'm like, is it though? Yes, trick-or-treating is for the kids, but horror movies are not for kids.
And all the grown-up Halloween parties and
Right. I feel like any holiday you can make it where there's something for the kids, but what holidays are specifically, oh, that's for the kids? Because even Christmas isn't.
Christmas is more for kids than Halloween, but
the presents part, but to be honest, Christmas is for family, well, technically religion and Jesus and all that, but it's more about family rather than kids. It's just that Santa Claus and all of that. But then you can say there's the Easter Bunny that's for the kids technically, but Easter is not necessarily for the kids. I don't think there's a really a holiday probably specifically for the children. Yeah. And so I just thought it was crazy. Twitter is stupid. Like, yeah, man, Halloween is for the kids. As an adult, why are you celebrating Halloween? I'm like, I feel bad for a lot of y'all, because as y'all get older, y'all not just going to celebrate nothing. Y'all think everything is for kids. They think your life is over after you graduate college, basically.
Low-key, Halloween is more fun when you're an adult. Because
it sure
is. Partake in the horror movies. You can partake in the grown-up Halloween stuff. You have money to make better costumes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more lit when you're an adult.
Yep. And if it's during the week, you can go to a Halloween party on a Wednesday night if you want and go out and get drunk. At 15, you can't do that. And at 15, now you're at that weird age where you can't go trick-or-treating no more because you're too old for that. And if Halloween's on a Wednesday, do you have the type of parents that's going to let you go to a friend's house to celebrate? Like, you don't – when you get in those in-between years, low-key, you can't really celebrate Halloween unless it's on the weekend. Think about it. In college, what?
I'm realizing all kids don't even trick-or-treat. Like, trick-or-treating is a suburban holiday. Like, if you live in the city, if you live in an apartment as a kid, you're not going trick-or-treating unless you go to someone else's neighborhood.
That's what I was about to say. They drove us to another neighborhood to go trick-or-treating. Okay. We definitely, just like during the Christmas season, my father would take us out to the rich neighborhoods to look at all the decorations and stuff.
Did that too.
They got some real broke stuff, ain't it?
Yeah.
Do you feel that's some real broke stuff? That's wild. Did y'all decorate your house for Halloween?
On my mom's side, they did. My dad's side, no.
I feel like we decorated for Halloween, but not like scary, scary. It was simple and more like fall, autumn stuff too, though. Yeah. But we would do jack-o'-lanterns, because I remember at school, we would always make our own with the pumpkin carving and make jack-o'-lanterns. And as well, thinking about it, they would give you a pumpkin, and I'm on the school bus. We on the school bus taking our pumpkins home. We're carrying a whole pumpkin on the school bus now, think about it, which is wild as hell.
At my school, they used to give us like baby pumpkins and we would just paint them, not carve them.
Oh, we did that too. I think in elementary school, I went to this school that was far out where it was only like four black people in the class and stuff. And they gave us pumpkins and we could do all that type of stuff. No, we had real pumpkins and we painted them. We didn't carve them or anything. And we painted real pumpkins. Now I remember. That was a long time ago. So, where do you stand on candy corn?
I'm a huge candy corn fan. I love candy corn.
Man, me too, bro. I love the pumpkins actually.
Oh yeah, the pumpkin candy corns. Yeah.
Bruh, the are they called pumpkin candy corns? Are they called candy pumpkins?
I don't know.
Bruh, I love candy corn and stuff. Like I saw someone get on what else I saw on Twitter. Y'all can stop lying and pretending. Y'all know y'all really don't. Y'all just trying to be different. Y'all don't like eggnog or candy corn. And I'm like, I love both.
Yeah, eggnog is delicious.
Bruh, like it's delicious. And I've always loved both.
Yeah.
I want to be a person that mixes bourbon with their eggnog, but I just feel like mixing my alcohol with dairy, I just don't trust it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Bailey's would be more appropriate to put in eggnog. I know most people do bourbon, but I feel like Bailey's or like a cream would be better for that. But
Yeah.
I could also drink like non-alcoholic eggnog and it's still good to me.
Oh yeah, I love oh I grew up always loving eggnog. That's my shit right there. And I ain't never gonna not love it. And I don't ever eat candy, but this year I'm gonna eat me some pumpkins and candy corn. Cause that's my shit. All right, so wanna talk about villain of the week.
I'm ready
And
for that.
the villain of the week is definitely Atlanta restaurants. That is the villain of the week because they have been going hard on social media. I thought that it was pretty much just all over Twitter. And then I'm seeing it on TikTok, on Instagram. And then when I know when something gets to Facebook, I'm like, damn, this shit is crazy.
Well, it started on TikTok with Keith Lee's reviews of all those
So
Atlanta.
I have just learned this week who he is, or last week. I've seen people tweet his name, but you know, like I just be scrolling past stuff. I thought it was just another celebrity, some kind of somebody on Married to a Real Housewife or something like that. So I always just scroll past it. So I've learned who he is, and apparently he's like the nicest, humble, well, at least his social media persona is a very humble, nice dude. And apparently he used to be an MMA fighter, which is random as hell. And so for the audience listening, we said Atlanta restaurants because the Keith Lee guy that we talked about, who does a lot of food reviews, and he's just a regular dude that does food reviews and somehow he got popular and blew up from it. And I guess he had the money that he could do this because now he travels city to city trying different restaurants. And what he does is he never lets the restaurant know he's coming. He like has family members and other people go in and get the food and get the orders because, as we know, that's why Atlanta restaurants are the way they are because you have these influencers. They know that the restaurant knows they're coming or they'll pay them to come because they have a large following, or they just get all the food for free. And that's why, like, you'll see some of these people talking about, I visited this restaurant that's off of the creek of like whatever. And they'll have three appetizers, two whole meals, two desserts, three different drinks. And we're like, bro, you getting all this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday? So he seems like his whole concept seems really dope. But he didn't give these places great reviews. It's the same thing as me and Ja'Cory done talked about the Atlanta restaurants and my reviews that I'll be doing of the Grass Wall restaurants. So it's shocking to see how surprised people are.
I will say my worst dining experience was when I went to brunch with you that one time at the Atlanta spot with the grass wall.
Prickly Pear. It's called Prickly Pear, and it's in Marietta, and they definitely got a big ass grass wall. And the only part that annoys me about all these people on Twitter is they keep saying these black-owned restaurants. I'm like, yo, this is Atlanta. Ain't just black people with grass walls and neon lights. All these motherfuckers is doing that. That's not just the black folk anymore.
Yeah,
But
because
yeah.
that was a Hispanic-owned place that we went to.
Correct. And now that was by far the worst restaurant experience I have probably ever had in my life.
Same.
It was so bad, it was comical. It was so bad, it was comical. Like, it was what, six or seven of us?
Yeah, a good amount.
Yeah, that's good. But there was no one else in the restaurant. It was one other table that came in, it was two people sitting at one table, No one was in this restaurant. It was taking him 30 minutes in between these times to even check on us. And it would take, what, an hour to get our food. Ja'Cory's still waiting on his, what, espresso?
Yeah, I never got my coffee.
You still waiting on that? And that was like 6 months ago, 7 months ago.
And like, he brought out the wrong flavors of mimosas that people ordered. Some people didn't get them who ordered them.
Me and Lauren we didn't even get to order our food.
Yeah, he didn't take y'all's orders. One of your friends, I think it might have been Ricky, he had to return his glass twice because it had lipstick print on it.
It had lipstick print on the glass. And then they give you those small, skinny little flutes at that. And they claim that it's bottomless mimosas for $15. And then
dude, that was amazing. That's the part that made you mad. Because you got bottomless and you had to pay for extra ones.
I was like, the whole time, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to trip. Then when he finally comes over there, hey, so I'm cutting you all off after this. We all look at each other like, what you mean you cutting us off? He said, yeah, the limit is 3 or something like that. Or he said the limit is 4. And I go, well, me and her, we've only had 2, but that's neither here nor there. I said, you know what? I've been patient with you, brother. This menu, I said, online on your website, it says bottomless mimosas. And he's like, no, it's just 4. I said, no. On the website, it says bottomless mimosas for $15. And actually, look at this menu right here. When I picked up this menu, on the menu, it said that too. Big. I said, there's no italicized next to it. There's no asterisk next to it or nothing. It is $15. And he's like, no. I said, bruh. You know what, dog? I don't know what's going on in the back. I'm not trying to be rude. I've been patient with you the whole time. You've bought us dirty silverware, dirty glasses. Me and homegirl ain't even got to order our food yet. He's still waiting on his espresso. She's still waiting on her hot sauce that you've never brought her. You done brought us the wrong drinks. You brought them the wrong food. And everything is taking 30 to 45 minutes each time. I've been patient. I never do this. I need to talk to a manager, man. I just need to talk to a manager. That was the worst experience ever. And then when he dude comes out, the first person wasn't even a manager. I don't know who that was, but then I guess the big boss came out. And when he said, oh, I'm sorry about everything, I'm gonna handle him in the back, we was like, damn, he about to beat his ass. I'm gonna handle him in the back, bro. That was god awful, yo. And so with the manager, he was like, well, none of y'all have to pay for your food at all. No, he said all the drinks are free, right?
Which wasn't even true, because they only took off, I think, like one drink from each of us.
Me and Lauren didn't pay for nothing, and we both had 3 mimosas.
No, see, that's another thing. Like, on the receipt, they put a discount, right? Mm-hmm. But we all got different discounts. So for some of y'all, they took the drinks off. I think for me, they only took like 20% off or something from my total bill.
Yo, that is awful, bro.
Like, he entered some code wrong to where it gave us like different discounts instead of just all doing the same thing.
That had to be his first day, bro.
It must have been.
The fact when Ricky saw that lipstick on that glass, that was awful. So, and it's crazy because I had went there for happy hour before that. And I'm like, oh, this is a cool little spot. The bartender was cool as hell, gave us some free shots. The vibe was cool. I was like, this is cool, but going back for brunch. And then I go on the website last week, actually. I said, I want to see if they still advertise in bottomless mimosas. And I go on there, it still says $15 for bottomless mimosas. So Ricky's like, dog, let's give it one more try. Let's see what they're hitting for. But I will say, that shitty experience led us to a great experience at the next spot we ended up went to. So what was Super Pan in the Battery?
Okay.
So it's probably pronounced differently, but I'm a American and nigger it up. But Super Pan, it's in the Battery, great experience. The service was top tier. Now, that was the best service of all time. No grass walls.
Yeah, we showed up like 20 minutes before like the bottomless mimosas was
supposed to. It was 35 minutes.
So they stood there with the pitcher of mimosa, and like as soon as we finished our glasses, they kept refilling it.
No, they sat there with the bottles of champagne, opening new bottles every time too. Yeah, they said, because first Ricky told him, said, look, I just want to let you know, we just had the worst experience ever. We was at Prickly Pear. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, well, bottomless mimosa is over in 35 minutes. I don't know if it's going to be worth it for you. She said, I know. Then we asked, can you extend it? at all. And she said, well, that's going to be up to my manager. Manager comes over, we tell her the story. And she said, I can give you, I think she gave us an extra like 35 to 40 minutes or something on top of that. So we was going to have an hour. But she was like, I don't know if that's going to be worth it to you. Are you all going to have to like go up and drink fast? Yeah. Hey, Nick, don't tease us with a good time. And we all, it was five of us at the, four of us, me, you, Ricky, and Jermaine. So it was four of us at the bar, sitting right there watching basketball, and they was, our glasses didn't even get to half. It didn't even get to half. They was refilling the hell out of that, and the food was fire. Those honey mustard wings.
My coffee I ordered, and it was fire.
Hey, Ja'Cory still waiting for that espresso. That was the worst. So it's not just these black-owned grass wall spots, guys. Now, we will say this. The Atlanta effect is starting to move to the other cities that have no need to have these type of restaurants. Because Ja'Cory sent me something in Tallahassee, Florida. Have you visited there at all?
I haven't. So when they first opened, I looked at reviews, and the reviews were pretty bad. I've heard that recently they've gotten better, and like people start, like they started enjoying going there more. So next First Friday, I might actually check it out and give it a try.
They do something for First Fridays?
Well, yeah, like you remember what First Friday is, right?
And I know El Patron used to have one, if it's like same thing.
At Railroad Square, how they have like all the art shops open and they got
food. Yes.
Yeah. So they're open for First Friday. So next time I go there, I might just give them a try.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, in Railroad Square.
Okay, isn't that's near campus by that hotel, right? Across the street from like a hotel?
It's right outside FAMU, like where the train tracks are.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Where did I used to go that was over there? There was something.
There's a rock climbing gym over there.
Maybe that's, I guess, because where I would go over there, yeah, it was just outside. There was bands playing and people were sitting out in the grass and stuff. And there was a bar that the white folk used to go and drink beer at.
Proof. You're talking about Proof.
Proof. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that proof was the bigger one that people would go to that was outside too and people would drink and all that.
Well, now even that Proof moved to, it's still like in the same general area, but it's on a different street now. But I think it's even bigger than it was when it was Road Square.
And you know, white people love their craft beer.
I mean, I love going to Proof. I haven't been in a while, but I need to go back. But a couple of takeaways from this Atlanta Keith Lee restaurant.
So real quick, hold on. So is that's there where Proof used to be? Or yeah. Is just in the, okay.
Go ahead. A couple of takeaways. One, this is exactly why everyone does not need to own a business. This is why we shouldn't push entrepreneurship down everyone's throat, because everyone does not have the skills to run a business. Even if you have the means, even if you have the capital, that doesn't mean you have the customer service experience or skills. That doesn't mean you have the business acumen. I think a lot of people in Atlanta just open restaurants for clout because it looks flashy and it's like, I guess, a prestigious thing to own a Black-owned restaurant, but they're not built for it. So we should stop pushing the message that I understand if you think everyone should own a business, but everyone does not need a restaurant. They should find something they're good at and stick to that, because it's not the restaurant business.
Like me making cookbooks with trivia games.
Right. You're great at that. So Continue to do that. Maybe not open a restaurant.
Yeah, because people tell me all the time, you need to open a restaurant, you need to start a food truck, or you need to start selling dinners and catering. And I'm like, I don't think any of that's for me. Not for me, bro. Like, I'm good on that. I need something that I have a little bit more flexibility and freedom with. Like, there's more flexibility and freedom in this. And I started this as a creative outlet, as something fun. I don't want it to turn into too much pressure on the other stuff. And with all of the other stuff, you really got to be popping on social media these days to build stuff like that, unless I'm just got a lot of money to open up restaurants and stuff. So not everybody, like you said, we don't need to push entrepreneurship too much.
Someone on TikTok said this, and I think it's kind of true. So even though you're right, it's not just Black businesses in Atlanta that does this. Keith Lee only went to Black-owned businesses. And so someone on TikTok said that a lot of Black business owners don't feel like Black people deserve good customer service and a good experience. And I think that is true to a large extent. Because we don't just do that with restaurants. It's like the hairstylist too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Black-owned businesses that, you know, want you to support them just because they're Black, they don't extend the same kind of favoritism to Black people in giving good service.
Exactly. I totally agree, because it's the same thing as the people who know you closest and that are your closest friends. A lot of times, those are the ones that won't support your endeavors. They mm-hmm. feel like, oh, this just Will. I ain't worried about it. I don't have to buy his cookbook. I don't have to buy a shirt. They feel like when you're cool with somebody, I don't have to go the extra mile to support them. It's like your family who, when you do stuff for them, they don't say thank you. They don't take you out to eat to say thank you. Ja'Cory should know. Ja'Cory should know I'm appreciative, right? You know, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, you don't. It's like when you come and stay with me, I don't need you to be like, hey, thank you, Will. Thank you so much. Because I know you appreciate it. Also, you'll appreciate it by like, oh, let me buy the bottle. Let me pay for parking. Let me do this. So I feel like it's the same way with these Black businesses. When Black people come in, oh, come on, bro. You know it. You know we good. We shouldn't have to go the extra mile. But when they see someone who's not normally in this neighborhood, when it's a white person, an Asian person, whatever it is, they go the extra mile. It's the same way how they do when these restaurants say, when it's a celebrity, oh, we're going to go the extra mile for celebrities and white folks. That's what they do. That we get judged differently by our own people. It's I remember when there would be like a talent show in college, and then pretty much all the Black people are there. But when the white girl comes up there and dancing, oh, yeah, go. Like, they are off that white girl. She can do mm-hmm. the most regular dancing, but for some reason, because she's brave enough to do it around Black people, they go the extra mile. So I do think it's the same way. They look at us as we family. I shouldn't have to greet you when you come in the door.
So because of your example with the white girl dancing at the talent show, should we call that the Save the Last Dance effect?
The Save the Last Dance effect. That's because she was not dancing good at all. But somehow when I was 12, I'm thinking, man, she's killing it.
I thought so, too. We just had to grow up to see what it really was.
Have you seen the video that someone made on TikTok breaking down that movie and how silly it was?
I did.
Bro, looking back, that movie was dumb as hell. That was so dumb.
Now I want to rewatch it just to see how I feel about it now.
Looking at the fact that they was talking about, yeah, they do serious dancing in here. They don't play around. And they wasn't doing shit.
You saw Kerry Washington stitch that?
Yeah. And then seeing these are all teenagers. When you look at it, like, bro, they're supposed to be 15, 16, 17 year olds, and they're all going out to some teenage dance club on Wednesday nights. But where was everyone's parents? was her father the only white person in the South Side of Chicago?
Apparently, according to the movie.
Yeah, so that movie was foolishness. But yes, villain of the week is Atlanta restaurants, Grasswall restaurants. Guys, so I have a friend that was coming in town. She lives in Cali. She had never really been out in Atlanta for real. So she's sending all the videos from TikTok. Yeah, I want y'all to take me here when I come. We got to go here, got to go there. I told her, I said, look, I just want to let you know, this is what we call Grasswall Atlanta. Now, I'll go if you want me to, because you want that social media Atlanta experience where the restaurants are all built off aesthetics. They're built off of, hey, we charge more than others, so we must be better than them if we charge more. The music is going to be loud where you can't hear the next person talk to you. The customer service is going to be shitty as hell. Probably got to pay for parking. And if you don't have to pay for parking, it's going to be a parking lot that only fits 4 cars. Most likely. So then you're going to have to find parking. So you're still going to end up paying for parking as well. They're going to make sure they have their hookah, of course, and nothing's wrong with that. But they're built off of aesthetics, hookah, and parsley. That's all that they are built off. The music, and all they're going to do is be playing. All they're going to play is trap music, trap music, trap, Afrobeat. Trap, trap, Afrobeat. Trap, 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 Afrobeat. That's all they're going to play. And then they may throwing this one random R&B song, but it gets right back to the trap music. And it's going to be a lot of people in there. When they get there, they put their phone up on the table or wherever, and they just dance on IG Live the whole time. They're not dancing with one another whatsoever. And if it's real Atlanta, at some point you start smelling weed, And then that one person smokes and no one tells them they have to put it out. So now everybody else is like, oh, we can smoke in here. So now everybody is smoking and it's filled with smoke. And now they're playing Lil Baby, Trap Trap, Lil Baby, Afrobeats, Lil Baby, Trap Trap. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on no more. Then they'll market, they'll advertise it as R&B Thursdays. Not a lick of motherfucking R&B are they playing. No fucking R&B. And it's going to be small as shit. It's going to be the size of my apartment. So it's going to be no room in there. And if it's also Atlanta, Atlanta, it's going to be a 90-minute, two-hour table limit. And the service was probably shitty. So now it's taking forever for them to bring you your stuff, but you only get 2 hours at the table. And a lot of these niggas, they don't play about these table limits. Woman came up to us. Yeah,
Atlanta is the only city I've heard of doing time limits on tables. I've never heard of it.
I think Houston and DC does it. I know New York does it as well. They do time limits.
Okay, maybe it's just a big city thing that I'm not familiar with.
Probably. But I get it. But 90 minutes is crazy, though.
Yeah, it is.
To me, 2 hours is crazy. I don't think it should be anything less than 3 hours.
Oh, does the time limit start when you get your food or when you first sit down?
When you first get your food. So it depends. It depends. Because I've been somewhere and that time limit started as soon as she took our order.
Nah, because that's not your fault if they take a long time with the food.
Dog. Like this chick tried to, she was our server and she was trying to like really like market and go hard at this place. Like, yeah, y'all got to come back. Brunch be turned up. The music's loud. All of us, we're 30. We like, the music's too loud. I want good music, but if I can't hear the person next to me. And then she says, oh, it's packed. It's so packed. There's a line waiting to get in. Strike two. I don't want that
shit. That's not a flex.
Bruh, like it's a line to get in. And I said, so wait a minute. You got to pay for parking. It's a line to get in. It's only a 2 hour table limit. I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's hella Atlanta because brunch and bottomless mimosas last until 9 fucking p.m. Brunch is from 12 to 9 p.m. Atlanta can you get? Yeah.
Who wants waffles at 8 at night?
Mimosas and waffles and grits and but she was trying to like really market this. I said that doesn't sound intriguing whatsoever. And they would dollar wings, and then the wings be like this small, but on Instagram they look this big. Like, come on, y'all. And now the wings is gonna still taste good. Almost every Atlanta spot, the wings are gonna be good. But I remember back in the day, they used to do 30-cent wings, 50-cent wings. What happened to the good days, bro? What happened to America?
Inflation, man, they're gone.
So, yeah, y'all, the villain of the week, Grass Wall Atlanta, because they are really taking it on the chin on social media. On the other end, if Grass Wall Atlanta is the villain of the week, the hero that we needed was Keith Lee, apparently.
So expose y'all. Also, did you see like the list of rules that the restaurant he went to had?
Yeah, that's bruh. I'm saying that's how these places be, yo.
I think and two of them contradicted each other. I think one rule was like no parties larger than four, but then they said for parties of five or more, we add an extra gratuity.
I'm
like,
yeah.
How is that possible if we can't have more than four people?
That's another thing, Grass Wall Atlanta. It's an automatic 20% gratuity at these places. What happened to 15% gratuity?
And they said no modifications to the order. And it even spelled out for you, if you are allergic to something, order something that doesn't have that. But then get this, they don't list their ingredients on the menu. So,
bro, that's wild. And the problem is, these restaurants are going to keep doing what they want because people keep going. They're going to go to these restaurants because they want to be able to take a picture in front of the grass wall and post it on IG. They want to be able to blow out, make circles with their hookah smoke because it looks cool as hell. And so they don't mind paying $18 for a lemon drop.
So you know what we got to do? We have to start shaming and bullying people who take the grass wall pictures because they're the ones keeping these businesses open. So anytime you post the grass wall pic on IG, we have to go in their comments and just bully them until it's not cool no more.
I am with that. We bullying all you motherfuckers that post pictures in front of these grass walls, because you are the reason they're going to keep doing it. As long as y'all keep taking pictures in front of these grass walls, grass wall will never die. You know what? That's a perfect spot to end this segment. We will be right back. That was a good one, bro.
Only way it's going to change.
That's actually what I was talking about with one of my students, because he was talking about, like, he said, bro, it is hard dating the younger chicks because everything's transactional and everything's financial transactions. And he said, so, like, you have these chicks that say, well, if you taking me out, you got to send me this, buy this, pay for this, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I said, dude, any chick that's like that, as soon as the next man that comes with more money, he can buy her. Like, if I can buy you, then the next man that's got 20 extra dollars than I do can buy you, and boom, you gone. So I said, dog, just be by yourself, bro. If that's what most of these young hoes is talking, don't do. And what happened to broke college students?
Or don't date in Atlanta.
Is it just Atlanta, though? Like, I feel like now with social media, it's starting to, I guess it's Atlanta, Miami, Houston.
Yes, it's those places.
Vegas, Atlanta, Miami.
And it's more prevalent among college students because they have, like, those kinds of aspirations to be rich. Once you get past college and you meet, like, people who are really working and have real lives, it's not like that no more, for real. Because
nine times out of 10, the women that I meet that's in their 30s, that's like 28 plus, ain't none of them like that, though.
No.
But every once in a while, which is funny, like, this one chick, she's from Miami. I met her in Florida, too. And she's from Miami. She's still on that. And she is 29. And that's what she's on. And it's like, all right, but she's a stripper. So they live a very different lifestyle than the rest of us live. And they're around men that want to spend that type of money.
Yep.
And that's why I'd be wild when she comes. Say what?
Like, does she dance in Miami and Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's all she's coming across is rich man who will do whatever.
Because I met her back in Florida through our mutual friend. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
So I met her through her, and which she, I don't know what the fuck she doing. She is wilding. But yeah, she would come up to Atlanta for the weekend. Hey, boo, I'm going to be up there dancing this weekend. I would love to see you. And it's so, for me, it's wild that she even be wanting to kick it with me, because she's around totally different type of men than I am. Like that, that's why I told somebody. I said, you got to realize, because I mean, these strippers only date the same type of men. I said, look at it like this, bro. The regular guys like us, we work 9 to 5s. So when they're getting off of work, we're getting up to go to work. They're like, and so who's around when they're at home at 11 a.m., going to the gym, going to the mall at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday? Nigga, who's out? It's basketball, it's athletes and rappers. Those are the ones that be out at those times. The rest of us is at work, taking lunch breaks and shit.
And drug dealers and scammers.
Correct. So, of course, that's the niggas that they gonna be messing with. And that's also the same niggas that's at the strip club on a Tuesday night, unless you got friends in town. Like, bro, we gotta go to the strip club. Because I hear people think, every time people come visit Atlanta, bro, we gotta go to the strip club. On a Tuesday, my nigga, you not, like, it'd be different. I get it on a Friday, Saturday or something, bro. But, dog, I gotta work in the morning.
I remember, rest in peace to the Bodega Boys podcast. I remember on that podcast, Jesus used to talk about how, like, Sunday nights in New York was when, like, drug dealers would go to the clubs because they didn't have to be to work at Monday. So it was like, it was just for them because everyone else had to go to work, so they couldn't be out.
That's wild. But it makes sense, though. Like, that's logic. It makes total sense. Like, who else is out? Y'all are the ones that are out. The rest of us got to go to work. And so that's why like, keeping these shitty places open, just to bring it full circle, is in Atlanta, it's the home of the scammers and trying to be a rapper and the OnlyFans chick now and the social media influencers. Like, Atlanta is the home to all of that, but I don't be at where they be at.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, every once in a while when someone wants to, well, we gotta go down to Edgewood, yeah, and they're not thinking some chick is cool as hell because we playing fucking on game night playing trivia and giant Connect Four and taking shots, and then all of a sudden she's a sex worker. And she's like, so what are you doing later on? Not you. That's what I'm not doing. So
I've heard there's a term for that called freestyling. It's when a sex worker goes out like to clubs or bars or whatever and tries to pick up men like as customers in these places. They call it freestyling.
Damn. So basically, she's out in a regular ass place having some regular ass fun with a regular ass dude. And y'all are great conversation, playing games, drinking, taking shots. She might even be like, hey, I got the first round. And taking shots. And then she just, what do you do for? Because you know what? I think she was really doing that. Because then it turned into, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I work in higher education. What do you do? Oh, I'm a sex worker. Oh, well, that's what's up. Okay, yeah, that's cool. And then I felt like she was just looking at me like, she was waiting for me to make the next move and be like, so how much? Or something like, one of the, what's your menu? And she, I was like, oh, that's what's up. And then we kept playing. And then fast forward, because we had already exchanged numbers earlier because we just cool. And I was like, oh yeah, we can hang out or whatever. And fast forward about 20 minutes later, we're still drinking, playing, now we're playing Jenga and playing the giant Jenga. And she goes, do you want to go to the bathroom? I said, whoa.
What's the bathroom?
And I got nervous. And we in this little hole in the wall, dirty ass bar. And you want to go to the bathroom? And so my immediate thought is like, oh, she's trying to work, make some money. And I'm like, that's nasty. And then she got rubs her nose like, no, do you like, you do coke? You do coke? And I'm like, oh, I said, no, but I don't judge no one who does though, but I don't partake in that. So fast forward 2 hours later, I'm home, I'm getting into bed. It's probably like 2:30 in the morning now. I'm getting to bed. She texts me, hey, hun, it was nice to meet you. First of all, I really don't trust most of these women that call you hun. Yeah, hun, I don't trust them. I'm ready. So she's like, hey, hun, nice to meet you. I said, I was dope meeting you too. She's like, we got to do that again. In my head, I'm like, probably not. You do coke and as a sex worker, no judgment, but I can't have that in my circle. That's not the type of life I'm trying to live right now. And she said, well, what are you doing later on? I'm like, later on? Bitch, it's 2 o'clock already. Ain't no later on. Later on is when I wake up in the morning. There's no later on. That's how I know I'm older. Because later on, like back then, like, I don't know what y'all about to get on. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Later on. And I said, oh, I'm about to get in bed. I'm chilling tomorrow. She's like, well, I can come out there and see you. I'm like, nah. And so I didn't know what to say, bro. Like, that's what my sister tells me I'm too nice all the time. I'm like, oh, no, I don't want you to drive all the way out here. That's the first thing that came to mind. Yeah. And she goes, oh, it's nothing. I can be there in like 35 minutes. It won't be nothing. I said, no. She said, well, I'm not going to be back for another 2 weeks. So if you want to do something, I'm like, oh, no, this chick is a hustler. She's trying to make some money.
Yeah.
So I try to have fun with it. I was like, well, how much? I said, how much does head cost? This girl said $55. Like, that's all? $55? Like, I was shocked. $55 is crazy. And you gonna drive out here? Do I have to pay your gas mileage too? Atlanta.
What's up with, like, AT aliens and cocaine? Why does everyone in Atlanta do coke?
Do they? It seems like it's such a normal drug that people are doing everywhere now, which is crazy. People do coke like it's weed now.
I have never encountered anyone in Tallahassee who does coke.
I did. I remember because when Ricky lived there and we'd go out, one of my white homegirls invited us out and she'd have her white friends and them around. And I saw somebody pull, that's the first time I saw coke in person. I ain't gonna lie. I was like 26, something like that. And that's the first time I saw it in person. And I was like, I gotta get the hell out. It's a bunch of white people doing cocaine.
Did this person work at the school that we both worked at?
No. Okay. No. Well, the girl that invited me did, but she wasn't doing coke though.
Okay.
But like they started smoking weed. I'm like, oh, that's normal. People take shots, of course, that's normal.
I know, of course, the frat guys do it. Like it's a common thing there, but just like regular people, I've never seen that in Tallahassee.
Frat guys are regular people.
No, they're not.
That is true. But that's what I also learned being in Florida, seeing a lot of them rich kids that come from South Florida and their parents are like lawyers and politicians, doctors. And I'm like, oh, this is real. They really be out here wowing because we barely had money for one bottle of vodka to share with one another.
Yeah.
And these kids got money for Coke. For Coke, bruh. And we was putting, nigga, it was three of us going in on a $16 bottle of Burnett's vodka. Like, come on, bro. What? But they got real money. I didn't. That's a different lifestyle right there. But y'all Florida folk. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but
so we're gonna wrap this cocaine sex worker Atlanta nightlife conversation up. Do you have anything you want to add to? Thank you, Keith Lee, for exposing these motherfuckers.
Doing the Lord's work.
Bro, yeah. We're going to start bullying you, grass wall, picture taking ass. All right. So we talked about the best and worst of it. We didn't really talk about best and worst, but we spent enough time on Atlanta restaurants. You good? Move on? Yeah, okay. All right. So let's get to Halloween horror movies. Do you feel like you know what's probably the best horror themed song or music video? Because obviously the first thing that comes to mind, Ghetto Boys, My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me.
Good one.
That's one of the best ones. Thriller, obviously.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Nightmare on My Street by
Fresh Prince. Oh, yeah. They wanted to call it M Street, but they reached out and was like, we're going to sue y'all if y'all try to call it. And then even calling it that, they almost still got in trouble still for calling it Nightmare on My Street.
So I forget the movie. I heard Will Smith was supposed to be involved with some movie by Miramax.
Yep, I can't remember either.
Because they were in the process of suing him for Nightmare on My Street.
Yep, yeah, I can't remember what movie it was. I read that too because I was making Halloween trivia. That came up as well. When you look at Will Smith back in the day, he was a wild boy.
Will Smith lawsuit Nightmare on My Street.
Yeah.
So Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff were supposed to be the stars of House Party, but they couldn't do it because the production company that made House Party was like involved in a legal battle with them over Nightmare on My Street.
Imagine I wonder what would have been different for Jazzy Jeff and Will Smith's career. If they ended up doing that, if they would have done like three of those movies with Jazzy Jeff, would have been a little bit bigger of a name. Like, what would have changed? Would that have hurt Will Smith's career? Where maybe some of these bigger studios would just put him in a box and not think he could do other roles if he did that, and think he can only do some kind of hip hop dancing movie. Like, imagine all the different things that could have happened.
House Party came out well before The Fresh Prince, right? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I mean.
The first one? No, I felt like it was around the same time.
When did House Party come out?
I'm about to look it up. I felt like it was the same thing. Same time. Because I think it came in 1990.
Okay, and then Fresh Prince
started in 91 or 92. Okay. Yeah.
90. So same year.
Oh, same year. Okay. And Will Smith was so hot at the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. So I wonder what would have been different for all the parties involved. Like, shit, Kid and Play, we may have never heard of them.
They weren't already big, Kid and Play?
They were, but they became bigger because of House Party, though. So, because think about it, they're mainly known now for the movies. That's yeah. their legacy is attached to the movies and not actually their music, to be honest.
Let me ask some. Ain't Gonna Hurt Nobody. Did that come out? Was that part of like the House Party soundtrack, or was that already a hit for them?
I think that was already a hit. I'm about to look it up.
But I think you're right. We wouldn't still be talking about Kid and Play if it weren't for House Party.
Yeah, we wouldn't, unfortunately. And that song came out. No, that song didn't come out August 1991. And it was on House Party 2 soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
I did not realize that.
And that's like, well, I mean, that's like the only single I know from them. So I'm assuming that's their biggest song. So we wouldn't have that if not for the House Party series.
Yep, it was the only single to chart in the Billboard Hot 100. And yeah. It's the group's second single to peak at number one. Dang. So they actually had two songs that reached number one, though, on Billboard Rap. So they had two singles that reached number one on Billboard Rap, and then only one song that reached on the Billboard Hot 100.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, their legacy, though, is attached to that movie. So we may... Maybe like our older cousins and uncles and stuff would know who they are, but we may not truly, most of us, know who they are. I mean, obviously, you know, Gen Z. I can ask 10 Gen Zers. Ain't none of them going to know who Kid and Play is. That's going to be my question tomorrow when I go talk to these students.
So remind me to tell you a story about something related to that after this. But before we get there, another really good horror-themed rap song that I don't think a lot of people know about or get credit or it gets credit for. So Fabolous and Jadakiss did a joint album a few years back called Friday on Elm Street. The first song on that album, the intro, Fabolous is rapping from the perspective of like Freddy Krueger, and Jadakiss is rapping like Jason. And that is such a cool song that like Jadakiss really wrote that rap as if he was Jason. And like, I know Jadakiss wrote that rap as if he was Jason. So I know we can't play music on this podcast because I don't want you getting sued or whatever. But in your free time, listen to that. And it's such a creative and really good song that's like based on these horror franchises.
Another good one is Somebody's Watching Me. I always feel that's another good one as well. And that's old school. And then even... Hold on, let me pull up my playlist. I got some. Oh, a good one. I don't know if it's technically horror or Halloween theme, but it's those vibes. Kanye and Rick Ross, Devil in a New Dress.
That's Rick Ross and Jay-Z.
No, that's Kanye.
My fault. I was thinking of Devil is a Lie. Never mind.
I was about to say, what are you talking about?
Wait, you think that's a horror theme song?
No. I said I don't think it's necessarily themed. But you get those kind of vibes of some kind of darker, scary, a little bit. I don't know. I do also think that, for me, that's a top five hip-hop song of all time. Yeah, top five. And it's like one of the... If someone asked me to play a perfect rap song, I'm playing that.
Yeah, I can see it. I wouldn't think of it as a horror-themed song.
I don't know. I don't know, maybe it's just because it says Devil. And it's kind of a darker beat a little bit, though. A little bit. Not crazy dark, but... Oh, you have the I Got Five on It version from Get Out. Or from Us, yeah.
I think that was a stroke of genius on Bruh. Turning that song into a horror theme.
Bruh, that was fire as hell. That was genius, yeah. I fucks with that.
Also, Murder Was the Case by Snoop Dogg. My favorite song.
You said your favorite what?
My favorite Snoop Dogg song,
Murder Was the Case. You know what mine is? Well, it's not my favorite, but one of my favorite, Sexual Eruption. That is my shit, boy.
Hey. I never got the hype around that song. It's not that good to me.
Man, I love that song so much. And that's why Snoop Dogg will be making music until he's like 80 years old.
Yeah,
that's true. We talk about this all the time, that he's the most famous rapper, I think, ever.
Yeah, probably. Also, The Omen by DMX.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I know
The Omen is a sequel to Damien, but The Omen is like a scarier song because Marilyn Manson's on it.
So while we're talking about rap and this, let's combine this. What rapper would make a great villain? In a horror movie. Not just because 50 Cent makes a great villain, but I don't think 50 Cent villain in a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like their rap persona, their personality. Not them playing a villain, but their persona, who they are musically as a villain.
Maybe 21 Savage.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a... he already looks like a villain anyway.
Also, like, his work with Metro has a lot of, like, horror elements to it. Like,
it really does, yeah.
I don't know if you've heard the song Glock in My Lap.
Mm-mm.
That's off of Savage Mode 2, but that has a really scary, like, horror feel to it.
I can think about it, but his music does have a lot of that. Oh, yeah. Eminem.
Which one?
Eminem would just be a horror movie villain. Like, you could place him, Eminem the rapper, especially the early Eminem, though, back in the 90s and 2000s Eminem. And he could definitely play a murderous, a raging murderous villain.
Yeah.
I definitely see that.
Like a serial killer.
Maybe Tyler, the Creator. I don't know. Maybe Tyler, the Creator.
He's too goofy.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, I'm trying to think, what are the rappers? But I think 21 Savage was a good one because a lot of his music does be having some darker, like, horror movie type of vibes to it, though.
And, like, you get the sense that 21 Savage might have really killed people, like, in real life.
Remember when we all found out that he was from England?
Yeah.
That still trips me out, bro. That was a fun weekend on Twitter.
Not for him, but yeah, it was fun.
Not right. Hey, he's good now. He's good now. That's fine. Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, he's too short. And like he's not
Chucky. Chucky was a horror movie villain.
Chucky, I don't even think Chucky is that scary.
Yeah, but he was still a horror movie villain. And I ain't gonna lie though, when I was a kid, nigga, I was scared of that shit.
I just have some mind. Who was that? Oh, maybe Busta Rhymes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. That voice is also, yeah, I can see that. That would be, I mean, he has played in a horror movie, but we're not going to lead further into that because that's later on in our trivia game. So we're not going to talk about that too much. All right. Now, you're starting an all-villain crew to take down your worst enemy.
Okay.
What villains are you putting on your crew?
My number one draft pick. Do I have, like, how many people are we talking about in this crew?
No more than four.
All right, number one.
Well, you plus four.
Me plus four, okay. Number one pick, Freddy Krueger, because there's no escaping him. Everyone has to sleep. He's going to get you. Mm-hmm. Two, Jigsaw. Because, like...
Jigsaw will put the plan together.
Right. And, like, my worst enemy, I want them to understand why we're doing this to them. And Jigsaw will explain it and talk about how you're a bad person and you need to learn your lesson. And if you don't, you're going to die.
Damn, that is true. I didn't even think about that. Like, you want your worst enemy to know how shitty they are.
Right.
And you Jigsaw is going to let them know.
Yeah.
Jigsaw is like the evil therapist. He's going to make you unpack all the shitty things you've done.
Even though, like... People have pointed out on social media how in some of the movies, like Jigsaw will like torture someone over some bullshit. Like they called out the worst and pretended to be sick or whatever.
Hey, bro, that's a good video to make. I need to record a video like that. Just calling out to work. Would you like to play a game?
But like literally in the first Saw movie, that's what one of the people did. Like he just called out of work and Jigsaw.
I don't remember that. That's wild.
The very first one, that's what one of them did.
That's why we're gonna have to do in the future flaws of horror movies. That's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
Just flaws of horror movies. All right, who else? You said Jigsaw, Freddy Krueger.
Jigsaw, Freddy Krueger. I wanna choose a ghost face, but I don't know which one would be best. Maybe Billy Loomis.
From which scary movie? Which screen?
The first one. If I'm going Billy Loomis, yeah, he's in the first Scream.
But to be honest, my bad, go ahead, you got it.
I think, like, he's the purest ghost face because, like, he's just a pure psychopath. And he's, like, the only ghost face who has no other motive other than, I just want to do this. I just want to terrorize.
It's not revenge, or anything.
Every other ghost face is trying to get revenge or they have something they're working on or whatever. It's for a selfish reason. Billy just straight up wanted to kill people.
Right. I will. Speaking of that, which one's your favorite Scream? Or if you had to pick three Screams and put them in order of the best to worst, whatever, or just your favorite one, however you want to do it, which one do you highlight?
Scream 1 is, of course, the best. It's classic. Scream 1 might be my favorite movie of all time. Not just horror movie, but it might be my favorite movie ever.
Hey, bro, now I'm starting to get nervous about you that your favorite movie is a horror movie, bro. That's wild.
Scream is so good, though.
It is. See, okay, I agree with that one. I'm with you on that one. I want to see how far we agree. Because I love the Scream movies are probably my favorite or no, not probably. They're my favorite, definitely horror movie franchise. And I'm probably going to put the Scream franchise in my probably top three favorite movie franchises, period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all right, after Scream 1.
I'm going to say Scream 2.
See, I say Scream 4. I love Scream 4.
Scream 4 is the only one I haven't seen.
Are you serious?
So if I watch it, I might agree with you, but Scream 4 is the only one I haven't watched.
Bro, Scream 4 is so dope. And it wasn't until Scream 4 that I realized, oh, these are actually like parodies of scary movies. I've grown up because I saw all the other ones when I was a kid. And I was also scared of them, but I watched them. So I didn't realize that those was parodies when I was a kid because they were still scary enough because I'm fucking 10 years old. And then I watched the Scream 4. It came out in 2011 when I was in grad school. And I was like, oh, I do see the comedy and this shit's funny. I mean, you had fucking Anthony Anderson punching the air. Like, Anthony Anderson's in this randomly. Yeah. Like, he's a cop. He's in this movie randomly. So I think, because Scary Movie 3 was really a letdown. So then, I mean, Scream 3 was a letdown. So when Scream 4 comes out, 13 years later or whatever, like 11 years later or whatever it was like, damn, this shit's fire again. You saw the last one that came out?
Yeah, I saw both of the reboots.
I love this last one. No, did I love this last one? The one before this one, I really liked.
So Scream 5, I didn't like at all.
Now, okay, I'm trying to remember which one I liked the most.
I need to rewatch it because I really enjoyed Scream 6, the one set in New York. So I feel like I need to rewatch 5.
Hold on real quick, guys. This is a spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear this. But so, yeah, because Scream 6 showed that the new girls with the sister, Billy Loomis, was her father, right?
Wait. So in Scream 6, there are three killers.
Correct.
One is a detective and then his two kids.
Yeah, because they was the family of the dude that was dating her, right?
No, I think in Scream 6, they're the family of the last guy, the last ghost face that they killed in Scream 5.
Yeah, and he was dating old girl in Scream 5.
But they're not related to Billy Loomis.
No. I'm saying the main character girl, her and her sister, who are like getting chased around by them. Her father's Billy Loomis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So Scream 6, it was revealed that Billy Loomis is her father, and he kept coming up in her dreams, and he's like, girl, you just gotta kill some of these motherfuckers.
I thought they revealed that in Scream 5.
That's what I'm trying to ask. I thought it was 6, though. I guess my mom looked this up.
Five. Yeah. Let me see if Scream 4 is streaming anywhere.
Because I watched Scream 5 and 6 back to back, though. So I could be mixing them up because I think they're on Paramount.
I'm going to see if Scream 4 is streaming anywhere. Oh, it's on Peacock. Okay, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Oh, Peacock, not Paramount. So Peacock. Yeah, bro, I'm pretty sure it was Scream 6 that they revealed that Billy Loomis was her father.
In 5, she was having the visions of him, and I don't think...
Oh, it was 5 she was having the visions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was... See, but I watched both of them back-to-back, though, so... So it was... Maybe it was 6 that I liked more than 5? Which one... Another spoiler alert, guys. Which one did Dewey die in?
That's 5.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of 5, then.
Okay.
But I'm really mixing both of those up. I was hurt.
Yeah.
I was hurt when I'm not another spoiler alert, when that person passed away. I'm like, damn, this really is a new era, bro. So it shows me that it's a new era where they're bringing those two girls in as the new Sydney Prescott.
Which, like, dang, I forget her name. The lead actress in these new Scream movies. I really didn't like her in Scream 5. I thought her acting was really stale, but she got a lot better in 6. Wait a minute,
the older sister or the younger one?
Older one.
Oh, I think her name's Melissa Martinez.
Okay.
What was her name? Hold on. She played Sam Carpenter, yeah. Damn. And because the other girl plays in that the Addams Family reboot, right? On Netflix.
Wednesday.
You said you didn't like her?
The older sister. I didn't like her in Scream 5, but in Scream 6, she got a lot better.
She did. Yeah, she did.
So, with that being said, Screams 1, 2, and 6 so far are my top three.
I do think when you watch 4, you'll move it up.
I'm gonna watch it tonight and I'll let you know.
I think 4 is gonna be higher on your list because I'll go back and watch Scream 4 out of nowhere all the time. Like, I just thought that shit was fire.
Okay.
I'll go back and watch it. So you said Scream 1 Ghostface is in your crew.
Billy Loomis, yeah.
So hold on. But first thing, how is every Ghostface in Scream always athletic as shit? This motherfucker be chasing them down, jumping over stuff like the fucking LeBron.
Yeah, that's a plot hole, definitely.
Because see, that's the flaws we're going to bring up.
Because like in Scream 2, right, like one of the Ghostfaces is Billy Loomis's mother. And like, spoiler alert. I mean, the movie.
If you were in Scream 2, my nigga, then it's 1997.
There's a scene where, like, when she kills, what is Jamie Kennedy's character's name in Scream 2?
Or I'm about to look it up. I can't remember, but I'm about to look it up.
Like, grabs him from behind and pulls him into a van, and I'm just like, she shouldn't be able to do that,
bro. That's so funny, though. It makes no sense, bro. Randy,
right.
Yeah, Randy Meeks.
Remember, the woman who plays Billy Loomis's mother, she also plays the sister in Roseanne.
Oh, yeah, that is her. I forget. Yeah, and that's also Sheldon's mother in Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't even realize that was her.
Yep.
Sheldon's mom. So there's no way she should be able to grab Jamie Kennedy from behind and pull him into a van and then stab him a whole bunch of times. that's definitely a plot hole in the Scream movies.
Because every single one is athletic as hell. And like, bro, if they went to try out to be a wide receiver in the NFL, they might make it. That legitimately makes no sense. But Scream, I love the Scream movies so much, though. That's my stuff right there, though. I love my favorite genre of horror movies. I love slasher movies the most.
Me too.
Yeah, I love the slasher movies. But all right, so we said Billy Loomis
as Ghostface.
So, oh, no, I'll wait till we finish. Go ahead.
All right, Billy Loomis as Ghostface, Freddy Krueger, and Jigsaw. And I got one more.
Mm-hmm.
For the last one, I'm gonna pick one of the xenomorphs from the movie Alien.
That's where you lost me.
Have you never seen Alien?
I've literally never seen it.
Yo, Alien, watch Alien and then the sequel Aliens. Those are both.
So I remember my older cousins being into those, and I was not watching that.
Yeah, Alien's awesome.
Okay. So, all right. Now, what is the role each person is playing in your crew? You already said Jigsaw is going to be the person that's going to let them know how shitty they are. He's going to get in their head, all of that. What about Billy, the alien dude, and Freddy?
So honestly, in this team, Billy Loomis is clearly the weakest link. I just added him because I love Scream, so I wanted to.
But obviously, he's athletic as shit, and he knows how to stalk. He knows how to stalk his enemy.
Okay, yeah,
he's going to stalk them. He can follow them around. He's going to let you know where they are at all times. Like, he's not going to get caught, and he's going to scare them and make them feel fucking crazy all the time, like someone's watching them.
He'll collect intelligence.
Correct.
He'll collect intelligence. Jigsaw will lay out the plan and then intimidate the person and explain to them why we're doing this. The xenomorph, that would just be like a scary beast to have at my disposal. I honestly don't know what I would do with them, but it would just be menacing to have them there. Freddy Krueger, I guess he would terrorize them in their dreams and like let them know what's coming, like as a warning.
He can bring up everything that Jigsaw talked about in a therapy session too.
Oh, true. True. He could do that.
Yeah, he can bring all that up. That's a good team.
What's your team?
My team, I definitely would have said Billy Loomis because I like the way he gonna stalk them down as well. But just to also be different, I'm gonna say, have you seen The Strangers?
Yeah.
So the lead dude, I forget his name, but The lead. So for the people who don't know The Stranger is basically a movie where it starts with the man proposes to his girlfriend and she says no. He already had like a trip out to a cabin in the middle of nowhere planned, and they still went out there that night, which it's already awkward and all that. And they're at this cabin and someone shows up to the door, knocking on the door. And for some reason, the woman still answers. And she, I can't remember the name, but we'll say Haley. Hey, is Haley home? And she's like, nah. Haley's not home? No. Okay. And just walks off. And the rest of the movie, these three people terrorize them the entire movie. And spoiler alert, one of the worst parts is their friend, his friend comes out to check on them, and she thought it was one of the killers, and she shot him.
Actually, it's the husband who comes back. He has the shotgun and pulls the trigger.
Oh, okay, it's the husband. So, yeah. Also, that
was... So, listen, I recently watched Strangers for the first time this month. I've seen parts of it before, mm-hmm. but this month was the first time I watched it in its entirety. I made the mistake of watching it when I was home alone, like in my own apartment. Here's the part that made me turn it off the first time. When like she's in the kitchen. All right, so I made the mistake of watching The Strangers for the first time in an empty apartment with just me. The part that made me turn it off the
first time. At night though, or no?
At night. So the part that made me turn it off the first time and I had to finish it the next day is when the woman is like doing something in the kitchen. I think she's washing something. Mm-hmm. You see in the background the guy step out.
Yep. From
the wall with the mask on, and like she has no idea he's there. That's the part that made me start seeing things in my own apartment. I would look in my closet and around the corners, and I would like just think that there's this face staring at me. So I had to turn it off and like continue it the next day.
Hey, that's wild. and we grown, and that shit happens, bro. Like that movie. So I will pick the lead killer because when they asked him at the end, why did you do this to us? You were home.
Mm-hmm.
But he literally did it just because, why the fuck not? Y'all was, bitch, don't answer the door.
You know that movie is based on the Manson murders, right?
No. I've done a lot of research on this for my horror movie games. It's based on the writer. It's based on a bunch of robberies, house breaking into houses and some murders. And so he mixed it in with Manson's and a lot of the robberies that was happening in his neighborhood and a couple murders that happened in his city when he was growing up. So they mixed all of those together, though. So it's not based on a true story or anything, but it's inspired by all those different things, though.
Also, just a side note, tell me if y'all did this, too. Like, when the preview for The Strangers first came out, and, like, remember, they had that snippet in the preview of her asking, why are you doing this? And the killer saying, because you were home.
Mm-hmm.
We used to turn that into a joke and make it seem like they said, because you're a hoe. Did y'all do that?
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah, because like my dad used to say that, and I had a friend at school who used to say that. Like when they would quote the trailer, they're like, why are you doing this? And they would say, because you're a hoe.
Hey, that's funny as shit. Why are you? Because you're a hoe. Why not, bitch? Hey, that's fucked up, bro. I feel like I would bring in one of the witches from Hocus Pocus. Because they're going to bring, you know, they're going to bring some comedy relief to the crew. We're going to be stressed all the time. And what's her name? What's the lead with Bette Whitler? What's her name? Good. I said Whitler. Mittler. She's going to be part of my crew because she can also fly. So that's going to help as well. So because Billy Loomis is so athletic, all she's got to do is pick him up as she's flying by. He can flip around and she can drop him anywhere. And this nigga gonna land on his feet because Ghostface, no matter which Ghostface, lands on their feet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Always lands on their feet. I would have said Jigsaw, but because you already said that, I'm gonna just say something different. And I'll say, the white father from Get Out or the mother, because they know how to get in these people's heads with that tea.
Okay.
She gonna get in your head and have you contemplating and deep down and gonna get all your inner thoughts. So I'm gonna have that on my team. But so it's Billy Loomis, the mama from Get Out. I said Bette Midler from Hocus Pocus. Oh, I need a muscle. I need muscle. Low-key, I might just go with a classic Jason because as big as that nigga is, they never can see him somehow. Like, dude's like, I looked it up about his like attributes and everything. And he's like 6'10". And he never dies. Like, he's literally got his head cut off in a movie and he comes back.
Him, Michael Myers, and Freddy Krueger, you can't kill.
No, Michael. I'm thinking Michael, not Jason. I want Michael, not Jason.
Well, I think Jason's the one who got his head cut off.
No, it was Michael because Jamie Lee Curtis did it.
In what movie?
In Halloween H2O.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Okay.
Oh, good, because I have a trivia question about it.
Right, I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, it was Halloween H2O because she was working at a particular place. And at the end, she cut his head off. She's also set him on fire. She's done a lot of things. And he died in the last one. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be back in these next 4 or 5 years. But I think Jamie Lee Curtis has finally said she's done doing it.
Well, didn't they kill her in this new series?
Oh, she did get killed in that last one. Yeah. Which, this last Halloween was fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Bruh. They was out there. It was like 60 of the people from the neighborhood with weapons and everything. And he killed all of them somehow and got away still.
See, and also like the guy who made these Halloween reboots, he also directed the new Exorcist, which people also hated too. So I just think they should stop letting him remake horror movies.
Basically, what's probably the worst out of the all these real popular horror movie franchises that's been around, like from the Jasons, the Halloweens, we can go Scream, we can put in How to Get Away with Murder. I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like out of the real popular horror movie franchise that's been around that somehow keeps getting made new ones, which ones probably had the most shitty movies?
Friday the 13th for sure.
Yes, exactly. Because they even had shitty ones back in the 80s.
Yeah, like, I mean, the first two are good. I feel like only half of the Friday the 13th movies are probably good. The rest of them are just straight trash.
Remember, did you ever see Jason X when he was in space?
No.
Bruh, that shit was fucking horrible. Jason X. Dawg, you had Freddy versus Jason. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one.
What did you think about that?
It was okay. It wasn't horrible. Like, it was entertaining.
It wasn't. It was yeah, cool. It was funny. It was funny too, because you know, yeah. Freddy funny. Yeah. So, all right, y'all. We about to actually. So, who do you think is the better crew then between our two?
Name your people again.
I got Billy Loomis.
Okay.
I got Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
The mama from Get Out. And Bette Midler from Hocus Pocus.
I mean, my crew is scarier.
Yeah, your crew is definitely scarier.
Yeah,
like, I think my crew could do better at a robbery, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the mama from Get Out could just give the security guards tea, get them dazed and confused. Bette Midler can fly, so she's gonna help your boy out. And Michael Myers, that nigga can't die.
Yeah, I mean, Freddy can't die either.
Touche. But Freddy can't really help you in a robbery. He's got to wait for the security guard to fall asleep, take a nap.
True. That is a... Yeah, that's a downside.
Now, if you're trying to get your worst enemy, yeah, y'all going to get that nigga. Between Freddy and Jigsaw, y'all going to get him.
Yeah.
Y'all going to get him. All right. We be back. We about to come back and do some... Halloween horror movie trivia. We'll be right back. Chicken Licker out.